Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your love for us, Lord God, for everything that you provided and given unto us, everything pertaining to life and godliness. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, and we ask that he would teach and draw out what we need to see tonight, that you would be glorified and magnified in our midst, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at Jesus tonight. We need to understand Jesus if we want to understand healing. Amen. So we're going to just look at his ministry on earth. I know we've probably heard a good portion of this, but we're going to just package it up in a different way. So you see what we need to see here. So his ministry on earth, he was still under the old covenant, and Jesus was a perfect representation of the Father and his heart for all men for all time. Amen? He definitely, if you want to know what the Father God was like, you look at Jesus, because he perfectly represented his heart, his compassion, his mercy, his forgiveness, his goodness, his grace. He walked in all of it so that we could, and we'll look at that a little closer in a bit. Isaiah 53:5 is a prophetic redemption scripture, and we're going to just read it. I know a lot of you are familiar with this, but you know what? We don't get bored with scripture, do we? It's kind of like going up a mountain. You just come from a different angle, and you have a different vantage point. So we're going to just go ahead and read Isaiah chapter 53. And verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now that was hundreds of years before he came and gave his life on our behalf. Amen. That was prophetic of what he was going to do. It came through Isaiah the prophet. And it came forth so that we would know. And it's confirmed through the word. Amen. We see it in Matthew 8:17. It's brought into the New Testament reality there. It says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Yeah, but I'm sick right now. How can I be healed? We were healed. That's past tense, isn't it? When were you saved? Is Jesus the Savior of the world? It's not a trick question. Is he the Savior of the world? He is, isn't he? Doesn't the Word declare that? Is everybody in the world saved? When did the world enter into that possibility? When he went to the cross. He paid for every person ever, past tense and future that hadn't been created yet. He paid for our salvation at the cross. Amen? He's the Savior of the world. Now, how do people receive salvation? Believe in their heart, confess with your mouth that Christ Jesus is Lord. Correct? We got it, right? Now, if he is Lord, if he is Savior, and all that word, we've talked about this 100 times, but that goes into the word sozo, Savior, salvation, and soteria. It's all in that root word sozo, and that means delivered, healed, whole, sound, persevere, or preserve, health. It's all wrapped up in that one word. So when we say we're saved, when we say he's the Savior of the world, we're also saying he's the deliverer. Amen? That he's the healer. that everything he declared himself, everything he bought and paid for through salvation came unto us at that point. Now, what happens when people receive that? It becomes New Testament reality, right? It comes into our life. We experience that salvation. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Aren't you thankful? I don't know about you, but I'm so glad it's back there. Amen? And all things become new. I'm glad for that. Well, at the same point in time that we were saved of our sins, we were saved and set free in our body. The chastisement of our peace, torment, oppression, depression, all those things that mess with your mind, the chastisement of our peace, he is our peace, isn't he? In our hearts, in our mind, by Christ Jesus. Chastisement of our peace was upon him that we might have peace. So since it's saying we might have it, there's a possibility we might not, right? Is he the Savior of the world? Is everyone in the world saved? Because they chose not, right? Is peace been paid for us? Is everybody walking in peace in their mind and their heart? You mean born-again, spirit-filled Christians are walking around not in peace? Should it be that way? No. Because we have it bought and paid for and delivered unto us. And when we're not at a place of peace, see, faith is a rest. When you enter into faith, you enter into rest. You calm down. Amen? You cast the whole of your care upon him because he greatly cares for you. You giving it to him. Amen? And that's how you can enter into peace, is because your confidence is in him, in who he is, in what he's done. When we get frazzled and messed up and scurrying around and frustrated and acting ugly, are we in a place of peace? Whose choice or fault is that? Jesus did that? He didn't do enough for us? We have to claim full responsibility, right? Because we allowed the circumstances, whatever they may be, to affect us more than it should. Yesterday, I think I was having a sugar drop. You guys got full blown of that. I've never had one of those before. All of a sudden, I'm just like, ugh. I was getting irritated, very irritable, for no apparent reason. There was really, I mean, I hadn't eaten all day, but that's not an issue for me usually. But it was yesterday. But instead of taking a minute to collect my composure and pull it together and look to him, I was getting, my fangs grew an inch. It wasn't very pretty. I got some bread in my mouth, and I was fine. Well, I don't plan on doing that again. Amen? I don't plan on doing that again. Why? Because he paid for my sugar levels. But you know, when I was talking to the Lord about things this morning, he showed me some areas physically that I need to take care of. And part of it's in my eating. Part of it's in my sleeping. Part of it is organizing my life. Anybody else there? God speak to you about any of those things? Every day. But he gave me a big, long list. I says, why is this going on? What's the deal here? And he began to reveal to me. So I got some answers. Now, if he paid the price so I can be in perfect health, and if he gave me direction so I know what to do and what not to do, then whose fault is it if I don't experience it? Right? Because If I choose not to incorporate those things, if I choose not to change my diet, if I choose not to get the sleep I need, can I blame that on God? It's not his fault. He already took the chastisement of our peace. He's already took that crown of thorn. He already took that beating in his body so that I could be free in my body and in my mind and in my heart. Amen. So he's already done everything he's going to do. So the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And when we look at Matthew 8:17, bringing it over into the New Testament reality, it's past tense. By his stripes ye were healed. Back at the cross, before he hung on the cross to pay for our sins, he was beaten to pay for our bodies. I don't know about you, but I am so very thankful for what he's done. And sometimes we just take it for granted, and we don't grasp hold of the reality of all he's done for us. But it's amazing when you think about all that's been bought and paid for us. And to my shame, that I don't walk in it 100% of the time. Why? Because it's available. See, going from healing to healing to healing to healing is not the will of God. He's paid for it so we can have healing. But you know what ultimately the will of God is? If he paid for, when sin entered in, death did also, and sickness and disease were the beginning stages of death. If when all that entered in and all that came forth and all that began to present itself came into our lives, and then Jesus canceled it out, right? He paid for it in full for us forever. Then his ultimate will, if we walked in peace, if we cast the whole of our care upon him, his ultimate will, if we didn't open the door up to the enemy, if we didn't do things foolishly to our bodies, it would be to live in divine health, to live above what's going on in the world. Amen? Fear opens up your pores. Did you know that? It opens up the pores and you draw in viruses and different things. I mean, that's just one simple thing, right? There's just different things that anger, frustration, we're releasing chemicals in our body. We're on self-destruct when we walk in a place that isn't what God has for us. He gave us his love. It's been shed abroad in our hearts so that we can walk in a place of love. That's the one law in the New Testament, is to love. They'll know we're Christians by our love. If we love the brethren, they're going to notice it, because that doesn't happen all that much in the world. But it should in the church, right? It should one to another. So, you know, is he speaks to us, then we need to take note of that. If you have a tendency to forget what he speaks to you about, then keep a journal. Write those things down when he speaks to you, when changes come about, when he wants changes to come about, so that you can check up on yourself and see if you're on task. Because as little as some of these things sound, they're a big deal. They can prevent things from happening. Amen? It can keep you on a safe track. He's so good. Amen? Aren't you glad he speaks to us? That you're his sheep and you hear his voice? You hear his voice, right? Amen. Amen. He's continually and forever speaking to us. So So we were healed. In Jesus' ministry, and this is what he did. It's all summed up in a little nutshell. And in Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good in healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How many? Just the real religious ones. No? Just the highfalutin ones. Are you sure? We got to go by what Scripture says, don't we? He went about doing good and healing all. That means he didn't leave anyone out. Anyone that came to him received healing. Now we're looking at Jesus' ministry, and what we need to do is take it into today. Because what he did then, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He's constant. So what we saw in his life and his ministry representing the will of the Father, we see today. Amen? And what's been brought forth for one, Lord bless him and help him. What's been brought forth for one, somebody gets in on healing, somebody gets blessed in a great way, is God a respecter of persons? He doesn't play favorites. So you can get in the same blessing line, right? Amen. Same blessing line. Don't get jealous if somebody gets blessed with a new car. Start jumping up and down, rejoice, and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my new car. Amen. Thank you that you provide for my needs as well. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. So Jesus was 100% God. Father was 100% God, correct? The Son is 100% God. The Holy Spirit is 100% God. So Jesus was God, but he came as a man. He didn't depend on his godly attributes to live in this life. He lived as a man. For us to appropriate and what he has given unto us, we have to understand, he said, the works that I do, you will do also. How would that be possible for us if it was dependent on him being God? He came as a man dependent upon God. He only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. He followed the Father. Now, guess what? You have the greater one. How many of you born again? Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Well, the minute you got born again, the Spirit of the living God came to dwell on the inside of you. Is that correct? So, the greater one, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So, I don't care if it's a president or a king of a country, if they're not born again, you're greater. I mean, they deserve respect, but you're greater. Why? Because you have available to you many things that an unbeliever doesn't, no matter how high their position in society is. The greater one resides in you. You have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? Does that mean we know exactly what God all the time, everywhere, that we're all knowledgeable? No, but for every given time you need an answer, you seek God, you're going to get your answer. Years ago when I was first coming into truth about being led by the Spirit and hearing from God, I used to say this all the time. I never hear from God. I don't hear from God. I never hear from God. Because I'd see people and they'd testify and they'd have these big elaborate testimonies and I think, I never hear like that. Well, I have never audibly heard from God. There are some people that have had audible times, few and far between. If it's happening all the time, they probably need to be on some meds. But the truth of the matter is, God will, and it's for this reason. If it's very extremely important, if God is speaking like that, not to be missed. Amen? So he will bring things forth, but it's a rarity. See, it's the still small voice that he speaks to us primarily. It's, Paul said, it seemed good to me. When he was talking about going into some of the countries, breaking new ground, it seemed good to me and the Holy Ghost. Well, has anything ever seemed good to you? I mean, that sounds like a very, very simple leading of the Holy Ghost, but it's a primary one. And sometimes when we think we got to have an audible voice from God or something, then we might get ourselves in trouble trying to make something bigger than what it is and not following the small promptings that he gives us and writing it off like it's nothing. He's continually speaking to his children. He's continually confirming things to us so that we can walk in the fullness of what he's given us. He doesn't want any of us lacking for any good thing. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He gives all good things to those that walk uprightly. How you want to be on that line? Amen. So he withholds no good thing from those that walk uprightly. He doesn't play games. He doesn't taunt and tease. You want this present? If you're a good girl, you can have it. Come on, just a little closer. But that's what we think of God, that he's taunting and teasing, and there's promises there, but we're just not even sure we can really grab a hold of them, that they're really ours. He's done everything he can to deliver them unto you and to me. He's given them freely to us. He's not withholding anything. The devil is the father of lies. And that's the weapon that he uses. That's what's in his artillery today. He's deception and lies to get you to believe something that's not true about yourself, that's not true about your situation, that's not true about your God. He wants to deceive you. He's out to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And a lot of times with our own mouths, we speak out stuff that destroys our life. Thoughts come. Not every thought that comes to your mind is from God. There's fiery darts of the enemy. Right? What are we supposed to do when a fiery dart comes? Put up the shield of faith to stop it, right? When that fiery dart comes, when that lie comes, no, not here. Mm-mm. I'm having it God's way. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I'm going to rise up and walk in the place God has ordained for me to be. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Well, how can it be a good fight? How is it good? We know the outcome. We're victorious in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. See, it's all in Christ. It's all because of what he's done. It's everything he did while he was on this earth. He bought, paid for it, delivered it unto us. It belongs to us. And we just need to recognize where we are with what he's done. We're in a good place. Amen? We're in a great place. The banquet table's been spread. Healing bread is on that table. we can grab hold. Boy, that bread was good yesterday. Mm-hmm. Amen. You can grab hold of that. Partake of that. And bring healing to your own body. Amen. What bread? His body was broken. Every time we take communion, do this in remembrance of me. Do what? Every time you take the bread, every time you take the cup, his body was broken, his blood was shed for you and for me to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, we might have messed up big time, but guess what? If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just. Now, he's not talking to unbelievers in the scripture. Guess who he's talking to? Yeah. He's talking to us. And there's an if there. So that means it's conditional. If you confess your sins. Oh, Jesus was 100% God. And the Trinity is as well. And he came as a man, dependent upon God. And it says, and we said Acts 10:38, we said, read it before, looking at a different aspect, but I want you to look at it this way, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. We looked at, he went about doing good and healing, but Jesus was anointed. Is God anointed Jesus? Well, if God anointed Jesus, if he needed to be anointed, do you think you or I would? Oh, yeah. Now, how many ever thought about Jesus needing to be anointed? He came as a man. He came as a man. He laid aside his deity. What does that mean? That means he stripped himself of his godly attributes that identified him as God, and he functioned as a man to show us how to be dependent upon the Holy Ghost, like he was dependent upon God to lead him and direct him and anoint him and empower him. So therefore, when he said, the things that I do, you will do also, how could he say that if he qualified only because he was Jesus, the Son of God? How are you going to qualify?
Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, we're anointed of God. Amen. We're anointed of the Holy Ghost. We find that out in 1 John. I'm going to look at it. John 6:38 says this, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Yeah. That's why it's so important that we stay in tune, because if not, I don't know about you, but I get off on my own agenda all the time. I get a good idea and I think I'm going in the right way. And sometimes it's you know, well, God would like this. This is right, you know. But sometimes I'm doing stuff that for that day and that hour isn't the will of God for me, because I was doing my own thing. I shared with you last week how when the kids were young and I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were in preschool, that age, you know, just a couple years old. And God had me, what his will for me was, to sit at home with my children and when they napped, study and pray. Fill myself up, get to know him in a greater way, consume myself with him. It was a different season of life. And it was a directive from God. But in my good intentions, our church needed somebody that was qualified to teach in the preschool. And they're in it's Christian preschool, so it's got to be a Christian. And it was keeping the boat afloat, so somebody had to do it. And I had the credentials. And I could take my children with, so I wouldn't be missing my children. So it only makes sense. If I go and work, then I can bring some money in, and it'll help with our groceries, take the pressure off our budget. But it wasn't the will of God. It was a good thing. It seemed right. It made sense. It filled a lot of holes. But it wasn't the will of God for that time in my life. And I missed him. I missed him entirely. So that's why we have to hear from him. Because we can get off on our own agendas in no time at all and miss his perfect will. There's his good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And I don't know about you, but I really would like to look back and see I hit the perfect will of God. And I'm sure we're doing this sometimes, going back and forth, weaving between the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, a lot of things are acceptable, but perfect's better, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I want to hit on target. I want to get it right. There's certain things. You're walking down this path, and as you do, it's the perfect path for you. There's divine connections there. There's divine provision there. There's revelation that comes there. There's things that open up to you there. But if I'm over here doing something that's okay, it's acceptable, then I'm going to miss what's been laid out on the perfect. And I don't know about you, but I've lived long enough to see the perfect will of God from time to time in my life, and I like it. It's a good place to be. Amen? And that's what we should strive for, not just for what we get out of it, but if you love somebody, you want to please them, don't you? Isn't that right? We didn't marry somebody just to, you know, have them pull their hair out, right? See how much we can frustrate them, right? All these guys with the bald heads are smiling big. What about him? How much do we do just because we love him? How much do I lay down? He laid his life down. This is training ground while we're here. This is practice. This is just, our life is but a mitz. It's just a little thing compared to all of eternity. This is practice time. And we get to go and see him face to face. I want to get it right a time or two before I see him face to face. I saw this picture on Facebook, and I love it. And I know a couple of you were here when we were playing games up here a couple weeks ago. We had that appreciation night. And Levi and Melissa won. And she just went running over and jumped and hugged him, both arms around, wrapped her legs around him. Something that the young folk do. Because they can. And it was just kind of sweet. Well, it was that kind of a thing where you see Jesus and this girl with her arms wrapped around him, totally embracing him, and totally just, it was just precious. And we think about what we're going to do when we see Jesus. Run to him and just embrace him with everything that's in us. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we're going to, you know what I mean? But what are we doing now to prepare for that day? It's a real day. It's a real day that's coming. And what we do when we're there is going to be dependent on what we're doing when we're here. Faithful with little will be given much, It's amazing, amazing, amazing. That's a whole different sermon. But something to think about regardless, amen? So, Jesus was bold enough to say in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And in reality, that's what we should be. If you see me, you see Jesus. A lot of times it's said that you're the only Jesus some people will ever see. You represent Jesus Christ. How do you represent him? Do you see the love? Do you see the peace? Do you see somebody reaching into your, are you reaching into somebody's life? Do they see goodness? Do they see mercy? Do they see you forgiving? Because Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. And we can be. Because he's put everything in us. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Love of God was shed abroad in our heart. Actually, some versions, I don't know if it's the Amplified or what, it says love as evidenced in peace, in joy, in patience. Well, I'm here to tell you, we got those things riding around on the inside of us. They ought to be making their way to the outside. And I've always, my husband is extremely disciplined. It should be respected. And I look at him and I think, how can you do that? I mean, he'll decide I'm not going to have any chocolate, any candy, any coffee, any TV, whatever it is he decides he's not going to do, he says it and he's not going to do it. He'll discipline himself. I'm going to get up and I'm going to have my quiet time. I'm going to read this much every day. You can't get him off his track. Once he sets himself in place, he is there. Why? Because fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Well, I have that in me somewhere. Not quietly as highly developed as his, but it's in there. Why isn't it as developed? Because when my flesh doesn't want to get up early, I let it lay in bed a little bit longer. When he's speaking to me to get up to pray, to read, I check in on my flesh to see if I really want to. And then I'll hit a good spurt where I push past my flesh and I discipline and I say, I'm going to do what I know God wants me to do. And it's that way with walking in love. I'm going to love my husband no matter what. My children, my boss, my neighbor, doesn't matter. Amen. I'm going to love my wife. We all have choices to make. We got to decide what we're going to do or not do. But we have the capability because that love's been shed abroad in our heart. And we have to choose that we're going to discipline ourselves to do whatever, to walk in joy. Joy is fruit of spirit. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. I don't feel very joyful. What do you do? You got to push past what you feel. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. You got to set your mind in agreement with the Word of God. That's the Word of God. My feelings aren't the Word of God. My feelings are flesh and emotions. And if I allow my flesh and emotions to override the Word of God, I'm going to live at a lower level in this life. I'm going to settle for less. I'm not going to be on this path over here because I veered off. I went over here and decided I'm going to have a flesh party. And it costs. I don't know about you, but I've cost my own life a time or two by making poor choices and affecting situations and people and circumstances that Some things you can get back on track and some things you can't. Some things, it's the moment. God sets it up and there's a moment, there's a moad. There's a divinely appointed time in history that God has set for you, and you miss that, you miss out. Bummer. Hallelujah. There's some things God can restore and some things he can't. When I was at when I was at Bible school, there was I was supposed to work with Keith Moore. And I was so intimidated by people. I couldn't hardly look somebody in the face, let alone hold the conversation with them. And I was supposed to go talk to him. And I knew it by the Holy Ghost. And walked right past that table. Went outside in the middle of the parking lot. I get arrested by the Holy Ghost. Oh, did you ever have him grab hold of you from the inside out? And you know it's God. You know he's trying to get your attention. Well, in the middle of that parking lot, he arrested my attention and told me go back in and sign up, that I needed to volunteer at healing school. So I walked back in. By the time I got there to that table, there was a very refined, dignified couple that were talking to him. And I made an assessment of the situation and decided they're qualified, I'm not. I'll come back on Monday. They're in deep conversation. I'll just come back on Monday and talk to them then. Monday I come around, they're doing what I should have been doing. And then instead of being smart enough to think more than one person can be doing this, I just figured I missed God because I didn't obey right away. Therefore, I didn't get it. Walked away from it. Big time mess up. What that would have done for me working hand in hand right there with Keith Moore. I messed up. Well, we graduated in 89, and in 89, I had this void. I wasn't ready to leave Bible school. I wasn't ready to move back home. Pastor Gary was chomping at the bit. He couldn't wait to get back here. And I'm like, oh! Why? Because I hadn't fulfilled all that God had for me to do. I messed up. So I went home crying, boo-hooing. I wasn't ready. And then in 92, we went back. And, well, when we left, God said, I can redeem to you what you've lost except for the time. That was in 89. 92, we went back to Winter Bible Seminar. In the middle of Winter Bible Seminar, there's healing school going on. There's hundreds of people there that are coming forward for prayer. So the prayer line's taking like an hour and a half. And I always stayed hooked up in my spirit. And when they'd I'd sing, I'd just, you know, stand in my spot and pray. I stayed hooked up in the spirit. And then after a little bit, I got lost in the spirit. I just, it was going on forever and ever, and I just got caught up with God, and I'm just worshiping God. And all of a sudden, it's like this big explosion took place on the inside. Whoom! And this big anointing hit me on the head and went down. And I was reminded of when Brother Hagin said the teaching gift dropped in him. He said, I was walking across my living room, and he felt it hit him and go down. He felt that. And that's immediately what my thought life came to. I thought, there was a gift that was just imparted. And I opened my eyes up and I looked. And probably from here to maybe that back door, maybe a little bit closer, I just opened my eyes and I looked to see what just happened. Because it was a phenomenal thing in the spirit. And Keith was standing by the door ready to go out, and he just stopped and he looked and he stared at me. And I was too afraid to go over there and say, "What just happened?" But my heart was, I mean, I was just, God did something. A couple years later, I ran into him and I asked, if an anointing comes on you for something, to what extent can you believe? And he just threw his head back and started laughing. Just says, well, if it's an anointing to teach, take every opportunity you have to teach. And that was it. But at that point was when there was a change in my teaching. And instead of just sitting with notes and reading note after note, there was more teaching by inspiration. But only by God's mercy did that come back around. And what did I miss by disobedience out of fear of people? What if I would have worked hand in hand? What about the relationships with all of those that were working together in healing school? What would interactions, what? I don't know what I missed, but I know I missed it. And I also know I received by God's mercy and grace, because he told me that he can restore to me except for the time. All of us have opportunity to walk in and see what God has. There's things stirring in your heart right now about your own life and ministry. There's stuff that's been sitting there for years and you just stuck it on the shelf. Well, some of those things need to come off the shelf. Dust them off. Look at it again. Pick it up. Go with it. Some of you have never picked anything up. And you just thought, I'm just in this place and there's no way I can ever do anything for God. Every day you live, there's people that come across your path. Every single day of your life, there's opportunity to testify of Jesus. And there's opportunity to lay hands on the sick. There's opportunity to walk in love, to reach into somebody's heart and life that are hurting. Help them. And let Jesus be seen. And the only way we can do what we're supposed to do is by hearing, picking up his will, and walking it out, and having confidence that we can do this thing. I can't say, well, Pastor Gary's, he's just so disciplined, and I'm not. All I can say is, when I'm not disciplined, it's because I chose not to be. Because that same Spirit of the living God is in me, that's in Pastor Gary. The same love that's been shed abroad in his heart's been shed abroad in mine. I can't say so-and-so is so kind and generous and I'm not. It's just not in my nature. Well, whose nature you got? If it's not God's nature, then whose is it? We don't want to go there, do we? We don't want to give into our flesh. We don't want to give into the enemy. We just want what God has, right? Because there's things, and I guess my heart's getting more and more stirred because I really, truly believe we're going to be stepping into some phenomenal things. Signs and wonders and miracles are going to be, I don't want to say ordinary, because I don't want anybody to get the feeling of take anything for granted. But at the same time, it's going to be commonplace. Yeah, definite increase. Definite increase. And if the glory, knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the water covers the sea, then we all got to get on board. We all got to believe in the greater one that's in us. We all got to believe that we can hear from God and move together with him and take as ambassadors his message forth. We got to believe it. But we will never come to that place if we put Jesus in this category that Jesus, the Son of God, did everything because he was the Son of God. Jesus came as a man. Jesus, the Son of God, came as a man. He had to come as a man. He had to die in the flesh. He had to take our place. He had to commune with God like we would. He had to show us how it could be done. He had to be in that position. And what he's doing when he did all of that is he's saying, now, Hugo, this is a statement you can write down and meditate on. And I almost said the same thing a minute ago, but write it down. Think about it. If you believe only in his deity and miss his humanity, you will never do the works of Jesus. If you believe only in his deity and miss his humanity, you will never do the works of Jesus. Because he said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. He said that in John 14:12. See, he had to go. The Holy Spirit wasn't released in the earth until he left. He had to go to his Father. Here's you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth? John 5:30 says this, I can of myself do nothing. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. This is Jesus. I of my own self can do nothing. He was dependent upon the Father for everything. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but I for years and years and years and years, I never looked at this stuff like this. But it changes your whole perspective once you see it in this light, because then you see it as a possibility that I can do what he tells me to do. If we're looking to us to do it, we're up a creek. We can't do it. So, I mean, we might as well just get that straight right away. Jesus said it there. I can of myself do nothing. Then who are we? You know, the in you realities, we've shared them a time or two. And you think, well, that's depressing. No, it's the bottom line truth. In you or in me, I can do nothing, I know nothing, I have nothing, and I am nothing. But in him, I can do all things. In him, everything's been made available to me. Amen? He withholds no good thing from me. But it's all in him. But we're in him. But we can either be aware that we're in him, we can be expectant that we're going to move into the things of God, or we can just back off and just be, oh, I don't know about that. If you don't know about that and you're questioning all the time and you're not going to believe that it's true, you won't partake of it. That's just the bottom line. In Mark 16, it says, the believers shall lay hands on the sick. They'll cast out devils. They'll do all these things in my name. But there was a qualification there, wasn't there? Believers. And sometimes we just bottle that up in the fact that, okay, well, I accepted Jesus. I'm a believer. Well, there's brand A believer and brand B believer and brand C believer. What are we believing? Jesus said, greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. So he goes to the Father. He releases his spirit in the earth into his body. We're empowered and directed by the Spirit of the living God. And well, what can we do that's greater than Jesus? Well, did you ever hear about the new birth? First one to get born again had to believe on the risen Savior. Right? So nobody got born again under Jesus' ministry. That's a greater work. There is nothing greater than the salvation of somebody that's lost. They're going from death, spiritual death, to life. Sometimes we look at signs and wonders and miracles and healings as though, hoo-hoo! And they are exciting. But bottom line, salvation is phenomenal. We got to meditate on what we got in God. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. We had no hope or future. And we've gone from that to being raised and seated with Christ in heavenly places. We've gone from that to having the mind of Christ. We've gone from that to being empowered by him. That's pretty good. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty good. It's quite a leap from where we were. But we got to believe it. And until we believe it, that's why it's so important. We can't just believe in the deity of Jesus, but we have to believe in the humanity of Jesus so that we get the picture of what he's saying to us in the book of John. This is the instructions he was giving his disciples before he left the earth. He wanted them to know what they had. They had to know it because they couldn't function apart from it. How are you going to love the unlovely? The only way is that love that's been shed because your flesh doesn't want to do it. Somebody gets ugly with you, you want to get ugly with them. Your flesh, it's Old Testament, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Well, we're not under Old Testament. We're under New Testament, the law of love. So we extend forgiveness and mercy and believe the best, right? It's a whole different ballpark that he's brought us into. Let me read this scripture to you. It's full of life. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I'm going to go back, and we're going to do it in the Amplified. That was verse 6. 5 and 6, but we're going to do Amplified. Have the same attitude in yourselves which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humanity, who although he existed in the form and unchanging essence of God, as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes and the entire nature of deity, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess or was already afraid of losing it. But he emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity. By assuming the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, he became completely human, but was without sin, being fully God and fully man. And after he was found in terms of his outward appearance as a man for a divinely appointed time, he humbled himself still further by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on the cross, which was for criminals. For this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, he's sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I love the Amplified. Sometimes it paints a picture you can really see, doesn't it? So it says, when he emptied himself, well, what does that mean? His omniscience, which is he's all-knowing. His omnipresence, which means he can be all places at all times. His omnipotence, which means he's all-powerful. He laid that aside. Those attributes of his deity, he laid it aside, came in the form of a servant, as a man, functioned as a man, dependent upon God to show him what he needed to know, to empower him when he needed to be empowered, to anoint him for whatever was at hand. It's amazing. Humility. He just laid himself down. There's nobody higher than our God. Absolute love. He gave it all. He gave it all for you, and he gave it all for me. All. There wasn't anything he withheld from us. Nothing. And sometimes we wonder, well, will he heal me? Will he provide for me? Will he make a way for me? He's already given everything. Everything. We need to change a song. Thank you. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for your healing power, that resurrection life-giving power working in me right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. That needs to be the position that we take because we're on this side of the cross. We've come to a place where it's been provided. That means he gave us something. If I give this to you, what do you say? Amen. Because it belongs to who? It's yours. But it's coming from someone else. Do you beg me for it? Please, please, please. Oh, please, please, please. That wouldn't be appropriate, would it? It's a gift. So thank you. We need to move over into the realm of thanksgiving and worship. And out of the realm of begging and pleading. Because if it truly has been delivered unto us, then it's just the receipt of what he's given. And what takes so long sometimes is what's in between these two ears here. And what's in here? Sometimes we've been hurt. Sometimes it's our upbringing. Sometimes it's religious teaching, and we just don't grasp hold of the depth of his love and provision for us. We feel we got to work our way into something. We got to be good enough. We got to do enough. We got to. It's never going to be because of you. You just receive and thank him. It's not a works program. I was raised up in a denominational church, and you bowed and you did this and you did that and you prayed this and you went here and you went there, and all in hopes that someday maybe you'll be good enough to get to heaven. What a sad way to live. Always trying to get what he's already given. Oh, he's so, so good to us. He's so good. So good. Well, let's see. I don't want to wear you out here. Let me just maybe a couple more verses. In Romans 8:14, it says, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So for us to learn to be empowered by God, we need to understand that he functioned as a man, dependent upon God, and that is what we're in the process of doing. Amen? We're learning. Anybody else out there learning? We're going to get good at this. Amen? Did you ever start out on something just riding a bike? Man, how many times you fall off that bike first few times going down the road, and you're like this, you're not even sure, and you're wobbling, and then pretty soon you're up and running, and you're going, and then you're doing it without your hands, you're doing all these tricks, right? But you sure didn't do that the very first time. Probably fell the first time, wobbled. But you get good when you keep going. Don't let the enemy, if you've fallen or messed up, don't let the enemy beat you down because of it. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible, so you can be free. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You get to a place where you're under condemnation, that's a tool in the enemy's handbag. God does not condemn. The Holy Spirit will convict you. He'll poke you. He'll get your attention. He'll show you what's right and what's wrong. Convict you of sin and convince you of righteousness. But he's not going to condemn you. Condemnation brings you down to a place where you just give up. You quit trying. I messed up when I was a teenager. I received the Lord when I was 15. I was a mess. It's not a good testimony, but I was a mess. And about anything illegal and immoral, I was probably doing. So we won't bring out all the details. That was my life. But God turned it around. Absolutely everything, it just fell off, except for cigarettes. I was so addicted. 15 years old. Addicted to cigarettes, to where I was in bondage to that. And the devil, I didn't know it was him at the time. I thought it was God. You'll never measure up. You're always going to be a second-rate Christian. You're never going to. And that's the kind of thing I was hearing. I was so desperately wanted to be done smoking. Desperately. I wanted to please God. But I'm looking to my flesh to control my flesh. I wasn't looking to God and his power, his anointing that breaks the yoke. I had no clue on that. So I'm looking to me to do the job. Can't do it. Looking in the wrong place. And I'm hearing the enemy. You're never going to measure up. You're a second-class Christian. You're never going to be good enough. Why? Because I was raised in that environment. So it didn't take much to get me thinking down that path to where I might as well just quit and give up because I'm never going to make it anyways. Well, I fell a few times. I got back up. I dusted myself off. And about the third, fourth time, I said, okay, God, it's either all God or not at all God. And I blew it again. And I listened to the lie of the enemy. I didn't understand God's mercy. I thank God he's so merciful. 70 times 7 in a day. I don't know about you, but that's, you know, it doesn't give us permission, but it does show the extent of his mercy. And I thank God for that. But I didn't know it then. I was only 15. I wasn't getting the teaching I should have. So I didn't understand his mercy. I didn't understand forgiveness. I didn't understand the difference between the Holy Ghost convicting you, gently prodding you, gently speaking to you, and the devil hammering away, you lousy. So I was under that condemnation from the enemy. And I just walked away from God. I blew it again, and I walked away. Messed my life up. Big time. Then I really got in trouble. Bing, bang, boom. Trouble after trouble after trouble. And after a couple of years, I turned around and realized I want God back. I didn't even know if I could get back to God. I didn't know if he made himself so real. Can I really come back to God? Is that a possibility? I didn't have a clue at that point in life. Weeping and wailing like a little baby. God was so merciful. Got me back on track. Turned my life around again. And I thank God. Thank God. Now, I don't know how many of you are like me, but if there's condemnation going on in your life, that is not of God. And just rebuke that. It's from the enemy. And his whole point is to destroy. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. You're under the blood. You've been washed in the blood. He set you and me free. That doesn't give us permission to live any which way we want. But you know on the inside of you what's right and wrong. How do you know? That still small voice, that gentle prompting. He's getting our attention, and it's there for a reason. Amen? And I can see some of you getting real tired, so we're going to call it quits and just maybe pick up here next week. Oh, maybe not. Probably have to do a DVD. I'll be gone next week. Going to Winter Bible. So we'll probably have Keith Moore, somebody preaching at you. And you won't be hurting because of it. He's so good. So Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. And all that you've given unto us. You spared not your own son, Jesus. How you willingly came, laid your life down on our behalf. Show us, each one of us, individually and corporately, how to yield to the Spirit of God, how to walk out the promises, and to walk in confidence in what we have provided for us. Be glorified in each one represented here. I pray for peace for every mind and every heart, strength for every body, and Father God, for your resurrection life-giving power just flowing through each one of us, Lord, driving sickness and disease far from it. We thank you for it. We give you praise and honor and glory.